Yeah. Okay, thank you. It's a great covet for me to be here, really. A tremendous pleasure. And the topic that I chose to speak about the next couple of weeks is Inyanei Yerushalayim, Inyanei Kotel HaMaravi, and some of Kedushas Yerushalayim, Makam HaMikdash. Perhaps tonight we'll just use the time to frame our discussion a little bit, to talk a little bit about what Makam HaMikdash actually means, whether there is a Kedusha B'zman HaZeh or not. And then next week we'll get more into the halachos that pertain to these particular areas. Before we begin, I just want to turn everyone's attention to an absolutely beautiful Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, just so we have a little bit of an appreciation, what it means to actually visit Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash. What does it mean to us, and what is it supposed to mean to us when we have that opportunity? So nowadays we're pretty spoiled, because most of us have visited many times, and we frequently go to the Makam HaMikdash, or to the Kotel, wherever it might be, and we sort of lose the feel that used to be, the yearning that people used to have to go and actually experience a chance to visit the Makam HaMikdash. So look at this Kli Yakar, let's see it together. Kol Mistakel B'Makam HaKadosh Ahu, says the Kli Yakar, somebody who simply looks at that particular Makam HaMikdash, Miyad Nislabesh Ruach Taharo Kedusha, says the Kli Yakar, automatically, just by going and by looking at the Makam HaMikdash, right away the person is overcome with a Ruach Tahara, a Ruach HaKedusha. Umelech Elyon B'Yofyov Yizbarach Techzena Einav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaveyachol responds, and he looks at you in the eye. So we have this dual experience when we go and we visit the Makam HaMikdash. Uriya Lechud Sagilam Liknos Hashleimos Ahu B'Makam HaShakar La Avram Hashem Yera'eh. Just by going alone and by looking, even if we don't have a whole experience there, even if we don't daven, says the Kli Yakar, just by going alone and soaking in the experience, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashlim us. Hashem responds to us as well. So then he goes on to say, Ki kederach shebar liros kach ba'alei ros. He's quoting a Gemara that seems to say like that in Chagiga. Ki miyad bebo sham, when a person comes and he visits this place, kishem shashchina roa osa, kachu roa pnei hashchina, so too the Shechina looks at us. Miyad, says the Kli Yakar, the way he ends off this paragraph about this wonderful experience, miyad, nasa mushba, muatzel, v'davik, biziv Shechinasa, yizbarach me'ein olam haba, says the Kli Yakar, an unbelievable description of what it actually means to visit the Makam HaMikdash. And so often this experience is lost in our generation, because Baruch Hashem, we have the great schus to be able to go there as frequently as we want, but at the same time we lose that very powerful feeling. And over here he writes that it's almost as if you're having a ziv hashchina that's coming upon you, and it's as if you're sitting in Olam Haba itself. That's what the Kli Yakar tells us. So just before we begin all of our halachas and all of our hashkafa about what we're going to describe, this is just to give us a little bit of a context of what this experience is really supposed to mean to us. So certainly it's an uplifting experience, and that's try to give this experience some meaning and some significance. Says the Rambam, just to begin, the Rambam, a very important Rambam, a very well-known Rambam, says, if you look at number Beis, the Rambam is in Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira Halacha Tes Zayin. Zok the Rambam. V'lama ani omer, says the Rambam, why do I differentiate, why do I make a distinction? And I told you, says the Rambam, that b'migdash v'Yerushalayim, with regard to the Beis HaMigdash and Yerushalayim per se, Kedusha Rishon or Kedusha San Lasa Lavo. Once we are Mekadesh, the Beis HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim, that Kedusha is Olamis. That Kedusha is retained, that remains for all times. However, says the Rambam, the Kedusha Shar Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha that was imbued into the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Le'inin Shmito Maisros, for example, by Shmito and by Chumas and Maisros, we all know that Bizman HaZeh, even in Yerushalayim, even in Eretz Yisrael, Chumas and Maisros is only Midrabanan. The Rambam gives a whole reason for that, but basically, it's clear that it's only the Rabbanon. So ask the Rambam, why is it that we differentiate and make a distinction between Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash on the one hand, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael on the other hand? Why don't we say that everything should have an everlasting Kedusha? Says the Rambam, Lefi, the reason for this is, Shekedushas HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim v'Pnei HaShechina. What was the mitigating factor? What was it that gave the Kedusha to the Beis HaMikdash and to Yerushalayim, says the Rambam? It wasn't our being Mekadoshit. Rather, says the Rambam, it was the fact that the Shechina dwells in the Beis HaMikdash and in Yerushalayim. However, Eretz Yisrael was different. Eretz Yisrael, says the Rambam, was not that way. Eretz Yisrael, we gave it its status of Kedusha. We gave it that special level of Kedusha. And once we left, once we were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and we went into Galus, so then that Kedusha was lost. So that's what the Rambam tells us, that we have this difference between Yishalayim and Beis HaMikdash on the one hand, that retain their Kedusha even after the Beis HaMikdash is Charev, and on the other hand, we have the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which loses its special level of Kedusha once we are in the years of Galus. So the Binyan Sion, who was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, also known for the Aruch Laner, so he has a very interesting comment. He was one of the big people who were at the forefront of fighting the Reform movement at the time of the Chassam Sofer. So he lived in Germany. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger points out, and he says, I don't quite understand. If the Rambam is correct, that we still have a Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, and we still have a Kedusha in Yerushalayim, because the Shechina is what gave the Kedusha to that Makom, and the Shechina never leaves, well, that's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Tzion and the Tshuvas, as well as in the Pirush of his Aruch Laner on Yevamos Daf Hei, he says, well, what exactly is the meaning of our tefillah that we say, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim? What does that mean? If the Rambam tells us that the Shechina is actually still present in Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash, then what are we asking for? The Shechina is there.
Two types of Shechina.
Meaning?
Usually that's the answer, that two types.
So he's a brisker. There's two dinim. So there's two dinim of Shechina, but what does it mean? So, the Binyan Sion, you're correct, but what exactly does it mean? And in fact, we also find, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph that Eser Masos, there were 10 travels, there were 10 stopping points at which the Shechina stopped off along the way as we were leaving Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean? 10 stopping points that the Shechina took along the way, the Shechina stayed in its place. So what exactly does this mean when we daven v'sechazena einenu, and what exactly does it mean when the Gemara says that there were 10 stops that the Shechina took on its way out of Eretz Yisrael, on its way out of Yerushalayim? So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger writes this idea, but it's even more beautifully expanded upon and expressed in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh on his Pirush on Sefer Bereishis. Let's read a little bit together. He says, Achein askilcha, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, I'm going to explain to you, ki hadragos ar hashchina rabim heim. Like you're saying, there are at least two levels of hashras hashchina that can exist in the world. It's two dinim. Hashras hashchina is not like the presence of a human being. You say, is the person here or is he not here? Well, he can't quasi be here. He's either here or he's not here. By the Shechina, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it's not the same. The Shechina can be here, but it can be here in a minimized state, in a state where it's not at its maximum, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Halo Timtza. Don't we know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Sha'asara Sheyosim Va'osim Mak Torah, when we have 10 people who are learning Torah together, Shana Rabbeinu, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in the third parak, Kishchina Shri Beinayim, that the Shechina is actually present when 10 people are learning. Va'afilu Beis, and says the Mishnah, even if 2 people are learning, even if 1 person is learning, also the Shechina comes. Umatzinu, and we also find Shalo Yodah Shechina Beinayim Shal Yisrael Ela Acha Sheyosu HaMishkan. We also find that the Shechina only came into Klal Yisrael, the Shechina v'shachanti v'socham only happened after we built the Mishkan. So what does this mean? So he goes on to explain, you skip a little bit after it says, Shmos Mem Lamed Hei, Masha'ein HaRegesh Kein, V'lo Kayotzeba B'shal She'osim HaTorah Afilu Elef. This Hashras HaShechina that we have when we have the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan is not the same as the Hashras HaShechina that we have when we simply get together to learn Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees 10 people coming to learn Torah, it's a beautiful thing. He comes down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now in the room with us. But what does it mean? It's the same amount as he would be, as his presence would be felt if we were in the Beis HaMikdash? Of course not. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that is what it means when we daven. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. Yes, the Rambam is correct, that there is a Hashras HaShechina even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, even after we don't any longer live in Yerushalayim. However, what we ask for, v'sechazena einenu, means that we want that elevated status of Hashras HaShechina back in Yerushalayim. We want that it should be in its most pristine state again. We don't want to stay behind and say, well, it's good enough to have a quasi-Shechina. No, that's not good enough for us. What we want is the full Hiskalos Hashras HaShechina. And that's what we mean when we daven in our tefillos each and every day for the V'sechazena Einenu B'shuvcha L'tzion Berachamim. So, if we follow along these lines of the Rambam tells us that there is a Kedushas Makom HaMikdash even Mizman Hazeh. The Ravid famously disagrees. The Ravid feels that Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Aselava. The Ravid feels that the first Kedusha that we gave to Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash did not retain its level of Kedusha at all. There's a big discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, what exactly did the Ravid mean? Does he mean that there's no Kedusha at all, or did he just mean that you're not Chayiv Kares if you go to the Makom HaMikdash Bituma? Okay, it's a big discussion exactly how far to take this Ravid. But the simple reading of the Ravid is that he disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid simply feels that there is no Kedusha as Makom HaMikdash Bezman HaZeh. So we're all assuming within the framework of the Rambam, which is also the way the Magen Avraham comes out, and the Mishneh Berurah quotes this in Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph, which is in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So over there, the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah assume that the Rambam is correct, in fact. That there is a Hashras HaShechina, there is a Kedushas Makom HaMikdash, even after the Beis HaMikdash is no longer intact. So we have a very important Gemara in Yevamos Daf Vav Amud Beis. Let's look at number Dalet together, the Gemara tells us. We have a Pasuk, Es Habshosai Tishmoru U'Mikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. So the Gemara says, why do we have this juxtaposition between the halachas of Shabbos and the din of Moram Mikdash put right next to one another? Eshav Sosai Tishmor Mikdashi Tiro, what is the connection between these two dinim? Says the Gemara, Mashmira Hamur B'Shabbos La'olam, just like when we say someone has to be Shomer Shabbos, that doesn't mean, well, only in the times of the giving of the Aseres HaDibros you have to keep Shabbos. No, it means that for all generations we have to make sure to keep Shabbos. So too says the Gemara, Af Mora Hamura B'Migdash Li'olam. So too says the Gemara, this Chiyuv of Mora Migdash that we all have does not only apply when the Beis HaMikdash is intact, it applies even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. La'olam, the same way we keep Shabbos nowadays, although there's no Beis HaMikdash, and although we weren't living in the desert and accepting the Aseres HaDibros, no, we're living many thousands of years later. Still says the Gemara, the same way that Shabbos applies for all generations, so to the din Mora Migdash applies for all future generations. It seems to indicate, like the Rambam, that Kidsha L'Shaita, when we were Mekadesh Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't only a temporary Kedusha, this was a Kedusha that's supposed to be everlasting. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Mora Migdash, this Chiyuv that we have of showing respect to the Beis HaMikdash and to the Makom HaMikdash applies even way after the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around. Based on this, there's a major problem when you have nowadays Israeli soldiers who need to spend time on the Makom HaMikdash. They need to go on to Har Bayis. It's under our official rule. So we can't just allow it to be Hefker. We can't allow it to be under the rule of others. So what do you do nowadays? So Reb Nevensal writes very seriously. He warns those who have to spend time on the Makom HaMikdash. He says, you must be careful, number one, to go to the mikveh before entering onto the Har Bayis, even though you're watching and it's for Pikuach Nefesh and it's very important. But he says it's a very serious problem if you're going to go without going to the mikveh. And very often when men go to the mikveh, let's say before Yom Tov, they're not really careful about chatzitzas, they're not so careful because it's just a minute for a man to go to the mikveh. A woman is very careful. Says Reb Nevensal, if you have a soldier who's going up to watch on the Makom HaMikdash, he has to be makbid on every single chatzitza that a woman would be makbid on. It's not simply a little minute to go to the mikveh then. Then it's a real halacha, it's a din daraisa that he has to go ahead and be tovel in the mikveh. And similarly, he says, they have to be careful not stam to go spatzering around, to go for a little tiyul over there. If you're going to do a duty, a watch, on the Makom HaMikdash, you have to make sure that when your time is up, and it's time for you to leave, and the next shift is coming in, one must leave right away, because we accept the ruling of the Rambam, that Ma, the same way the Gemara says, Ma Shabbos is Li'olam, just like the Shmira Shabbos is something we're mechuyev to do for all generations. So too says the Rambam and says the Gemara here in Yevamos, we must make sure to keep the halachos of Mora Migdash even at a time when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer in existence. The Brisker Rav points out in his Sefer on Chumash that when you look at the Psukim by Yaakov Avinu, if you look at number Hey, it says Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep. Vayira Vayomar, says Yaakov Avinu, he wakes up in a frenzy. He's concerned. Manora Makom Hazeh Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim Vezeh Shaar Hashamayim. Yaakov Avinu feels bad that nobody told him that he's going to sleep in the place which is a Makom HaMikdash, which is a Makom of Hashras HaShechina, and he gets nervous, perhaps he didn't act properly in this particular Makom. Says the Brisker Rav on Chumash, what do you see clearly from here? What you see is that the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash had a Kedusha even before the Makom HaMikdash was actually, even before the Beis HaMikdash was there. Yaakov Avinu was thousands of years before the Beis HaMikdash, yet Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, Manora HaMakom HaZeh. He knew that there was a certain Kedusha that this place had, even though the Beis HaMikdash was not there. So that, says the Brisker Rav, also seems to indicate, like the Rambam says, that the Makom of the Hashras HaShechina is a Makom Kadosh regardless of the existence of a Beis HaMikdash or not. There is a Gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Ches where the Gemara tells us, if you look at number Vav, Beis HaKnesa Shecharev, Eimas Pidim Besocha. Says the Gemara, if you have, unfortunately, sometimes a Beis HaKnesses, let's say you go to the Bronx, so you have many, many shuls that were very vibrant shuls. There was a large Jewish community just 50 years ago, not so long ago. Yet now they're desolate, they're empty, there's nothing doing there. So maybe you're going to say that now that they're no longer used, now that we take the Sefer Torah out of them, all the Svarim are gone, we gave them away to other shuls, so perhaps we should assume that now it loses its status of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Says the Gemara, no. Beis HaKnesses Shecharev, even if I have a Beis HaKnesses which is no longer being used and which is no longer in existence, still, says the Gemara, A must be the Misocha. It still retains its status of Kedusha even after it's no longer being used any longer. Says the Gemara, how do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Vashimosi es Migdashechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy your Beis HaMikdash. How does he call it a Beis HaMikdash if it was just destroyed? Says Hashimosi, it's going to be desolate. But still, it's called Mikdashechem. So how do you explain the Pasuk? Says the Gemara, what you see is, Kedushasan af kishein shamamim. What you see is that even after the Shemama, even after the land is completely desolate, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, still we refer to it as a Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Because it still retains its level of Kedusha, and this goes for a Beis HaKnesses as well. We assume that it retains its level, special level of Kedusha even after the Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Now, this is all with regard to the Kedushas Makom HaMikdash, and here we see a Gemara is extending it also to a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, that a Beis HaKnesses also, even after it's destroyed, even after it's Shamem, it's no longer in use, still we assume that it retains its elevated status of Kedusha. Now, what is the status of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? If we just divert our attention for a few minutes, what exactly is a Beis HaKnesses? What kind of Kedusha are we mechuyev to give to a Beis HaKnesses? Is it the same as the Kedusha we're mechuyev to give for the Beis HaMikdash? Well, seemingly I would say...
Why not? How could you compare them?
How could you?
I mean, the Beis HaKnesses is at one level, the Beis HaMikdash is a completely different level.
Right, so I just want to spend a couple of minutes trying to compare and contrast the two levels of Kedusha. On the one hand, we have Makom HaMikdash. On the other hand, we have a Beis HaKnesses. So let's see, are they the same? So the Ran writes in his Pirush on Maseches Megillah, and the end of Maseches Megillah, the Ran says, I forgot to put it on here, but the Ran tells us that when we have a Beis HaKnesses, says the Ran, Hitilu b'chachamim kedusha midivrehem. Says the Ran, midaraisa, when I build a Beis HaKnesses, it really has no kedusha at all. It's a place where you daven, it's very nice, a place where you keep a Sefer Torah, a place where we learn, a place where we have shiurim, very nice. But says the Ran, that doesn't really give it a level, midaraisa, doesn't attain a level of Kedusha. However, says the Ran, midrabanan, the Chacham said, how can you say a room like this doesn't have Kedusha? How is it possible? It has to be, says the Ran, that midrabanan, they put a level of Kedusha onto a Beis HaKnesses, that it's a quasi Beis HaMikdash. That's what he says. However, if you look in the Sefer Yireim, written by Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, and we'll look at it together in number Ches, people like to read along, or would they rather... No source sheet? Are those the type of shiurim we have here normally? Okay. So, if we look together in number Ches, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim seems to disagree with the Ran. Rabbi Elazar Mimitz and the Chafetz Chaim points out that this is not only Rabbi Elazar Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim, who was one of the great Rishonim, but says the Chafetz Chaim, this is also the opinion of the Smag and the Smak, so you shouldn't just think this is one opinion. This is the opinion of a collective group of very special Rishonim. Says Rabbi Elazar Mimitz like this: Mora Migdash Tziva Bihikansam Ada Bihikanis Adam the Migdash Ola Beis HaKnesses Ola Beis HaMedrash. Right away, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz throws all three of them into the same category. He says Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, and Beis HaMedrash all seem to have the same halacha on a level of Daraisa. Says Rabbi Elazar Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim, the chiv that we all have is Sheyinag Bahem Mora Vikibud. When we come into the Beis HaMikdash, or to the Beis HaKnesses, or to a Beis HaMedrash, says the Yireim, we have a chiyuv of Mora and of Kibud. We have to respect it, and we have to have some fear, some ema from it. That it says, Beparshas Baharas Shabsosai Tishmor Mikdashi Tiro, Lomi Mikdashi Atiyare, and the Gemara Darshans, we're not supposed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash and just be awed by the building itself. Rather, Ala Migdash Pirish Ala Borei Baruch Hu. What we're supposed to be awed by is the presence of the Shekhinah that resides in the Beis HaMikdash, or the presence of the Shekhinah that's found in a shul or in a Beis HaMedrash. That's what we assume. Umatzino Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash. And then he goes on to say that, in fact, the Gemara Megillah tells us that a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses have the title of Mikdash Miat, as we all know. Lost my place. Matzino Beis HaMedrash Beis HaKnesses Shenikdu Mikdash D'Tanya B'Teres Kohanim. Vashimosius Mikdashem, the Rabbis Bati Knesias Abati Midrashos, Varminim Megillah, Ve'ehi Lahem Le Mikdash Ma'at. Lamadu, we learn from here, Shek Sha'amra Torah is Mikdash Aitiro. Now the Sefer Yireim takes it a step further. We have a Gemara Megillah that says that a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash are Mikdash Ma'at. They have a quasi status of a Beis HaMedrash. Beis HaKnesses have a quasi status of Beis HaMikdash. Says the Sefer Yireim, let's take that a step further and say also that the same way there's a chi of daraisa of mora migdash in the Beis HaMikdash proper, so too there's a chi of mora migdash midaraisa in a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. So that's a big chiddush of the Sefer Yireim, and this has many, many ways in which it plays out lahalacha. When we say that our shuls and that our batei midrashos have a quasi status of a Beis HaMikdash, that really plays out and manifests itself in halacha in many different ways. I'll just point out just a very few examples, but they're very important examples. Number one, a halacha that many of us might not be so careful about, because often we all come late to shul. Aschatay ani maskir, I also come late to shul sometimes. So the Shari Tshuva writes in Simen Memches, first of all, saying karbonos every day is a very important thing to do. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the first parak in Brachos that perhaps it's a chiyuv min haTorah to say Brachos every day. Very important, Rabbeinu Yonah. It's like a needle in a haystack. It's important to look at inside. Right, so we hop through it, and most of us don't even have a chance to say any of it, because we come late, we come a few minutes late, we put on our tefillin, like Rabbi Galler was just talking about. You come really late, you come in between Gal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei, forget about it. You're not going to catch up and say Karbanos. So, when you have a person who even comes 5 minutes late to shul, by the time I put my tefillin on, they're ready up to Rabbi Shmuel, they're ready up to Baruch Shomer, if I'm lucky. Perhaps even further. So it's important to say karbanos.
What's the answer in that situation?
In which situation?
When you come, or you, let's say you're behind the tzibur, you want to say karbanos, say them at the end?
Sure. Okay. Sure, you can say karbanos at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a... Right, so most people... So you're a big tzaddik. Most people just say, okay, we came late, forget about it. You still go back to make up what you missed. So that's an important halacha. Number one, saying karbanos is something very important. Once we've established that we're going to say karbanos every day and we're actually going to be careful, so now the Magen Avraham tells us that there are many permutations of how this is supposed to be done. Number one, says the Magen Avraham, when you say the Parshas HaTamid, you're supposed to stand up while you say it. Tumen Hagim, in the Art School Siddur, brings Tumen Hagim. So it's pretty easy to stand up. It's only 30 seconds. Doesn't take that long. Why are we supposed to stand up? Because, says the Magen Avraham, it's patterned off HaKravas HaKarbanos. In the same way one must stand, Lamud L'Shores, one must stand while he's offering karbanos, so too one must stand when he is reciting the Parshas HaTamid every morning in shul. Now that's a very important Parsha to say. Even if you're going to skip some of the Karbanos, Parshas Karban Talmid is one that's more important than others.
According to the guy, he says it's not from the Torah, it's from the Rabbanan, you don't have to do that.
So that's what I want to point out. That it would seem that if we assume that a Beis HaKnesses has the status of a quasi-Beis HaMikdash, then it would seem that there are ways in which it manifests itself in the way we act in a shul. And I'll just point out exactly like you're saying. So number one, the Shari Tshuva writes in Simen Memches. Says the Shari Tshuva, quoting the Arzarua, that because our Beis HaKnesses has a quasi-status of a Beis HaMikdash, well, says the Shari Tshuva, when I come to shul, somehow the chazan is already ahead of me. So you know what? I decide on my way to shul while I'm driving, or while I'm walking to shul, I'll start saying karbanos on my own. This way I won't miss out. I'm supposed to say karbanos every day, Shalom Parm Svaseinu. At the same time, I don't want to be catching up the whole davening, so I'll just say it on the way. Says the Shari Tshuva, no, more proper is to recite the karbanos in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? To say brachas at home, that's fine. But karbanos to say in the Beis HaKnesses is something which is very important. Why? Says the Shari Tshuva, quoting the Arzarua, the reason why is because our Beis HaKnesses has a quasi-status of a Makam HaMikdash. And therefore, when you're going to say the karbanos in the morning, you should say it in the Beis HaKnesses, because it's as if you're actually reciting them in the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's number one. Number two, and a very important halacha, is the Mordechai writes in Maseches Megillah, in the last parak in Megillah, the Mordechai writes, we have an iser called Losasun Kein LaShem Elokeichem. What does it mean, Losasun Kein LaShem Elokeichem? So the simple reading of the pasuk means it's in Sefer Dvarim. The simple reading of the pasuk is that you're not allowed to destroy part of the Makom HaMikdash. And the Achronim, perhaps next week or the week afterward, will discuss. There was some sort of Rabbi Avadi Yosef in his Tshuvas has an interesting historical fact. He says that there were many families that used to take stones off of the Kotel and bring them home. They thought it was a good schus. They thought it was good luck. They didn't take a whole stone, but they chipped off a little bit. And there's a big question exactly. The Medrash talks about. Does the Medrash talk about it? I think so. How exactly did they build the Kotel at all? I never traveled to Egypt. Has anyone here been there? Apparently, if you look at the pyramids, even those stones aren't as big. Is that true? Anyone know? What?
Yeah.
It is true? Yeah. That they're smaller than the... Right, so everybody asks, how is it possible? How'd they get them there? How'd they get the stones and how'd they build the wall? It's a big question, but be it as it may, they built the wall. So now we have the Kotel, and we all go to visit. So apparently there were many, many families who had the custom to take off, or Moshe writes about this in Atshuva as well, in the Igros Moshe. There were many, many who had a custom to chip off a little piece of the wall and bring it home, because they wanted to have some of the Makom Kedushas HaMikdash in their own private homes. Very nice thing to do, very nice machshava. The question is it permissible? So when you think about this pasuk, Lo Sasum Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, this might actually constitute an Isra D'Araisa. Why? Because Lo Sasum Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem means that you are not allowed to break something, you're not allowed to destroy something which is a Makom HaMikdash. Yes, the Gemara, the Psukim there are talking about destroying Avodah Zarah. The Baratem HaShemam is supposed to destroy the Avodah Zarah and make sure that there's no remnant of them at all. And then a response to that, the Pasuk says, don't you dare think of doing such a thing to the Makom HaMikdash. That's only allowed to be done to the Avodah Zarah, not to Hashem's house. So that's what the Psukim tell us. Based on that, says the Mordechai, this applies to a shul as well. Let's say I say, well, I very much like this shul. I decide I'm going to rip off a little piece of the carpet. I'll bring it home with me.
It's coming up on
its own. What? Right. So the Ramah in Arachayim Simen Kufnun Beis discusses this and says the Ramah, yes, one is not allowed to take something away from a Beis HaKnesses. The same way the Isser of Losasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem applies to the Makom HaMikdash, so too says the Mordechai, and it's quoted Lahalach in the Ramah, one is not allowed to take away from the structure, from the edifice of a Beis HaKnesses. One has to make sure that it's left intact. If you begin to destroy it, you possibly violate an Isra D'Araisa of Losasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. Now this is also on the assumption that a Beis HaKnesses has the same status of Kedusha as a Beis HaMikdash. And that's why we apply the din of Losasun Kein to Halacha over here. A third very puzzling place where we find it is the following. The Stechemed talks at great length when he has his whole discussion about different halachas in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Stechemed talks in great length, the big machlokas ha'achronim. It's hard for us to imagine, but the Stechemed says, I've never been in Russia in the middle of the dead cold winter, but I've been told that it's freezing. So the Stechemed has a whole discussion about whether or not you're allowed to install a fireplace in a shul in order to keep the people warm. So we're all used to having heaters. So I'm not quite sure what the question is. I guess we've all decided that it's mutter. But the Stechemed, when he discusses it, says that Das Rov Gedolei HaAchronim, he says that the opinion of most of the Achronim of that generation, that he was collecting their opinions, assume that it's absolutely usser to install a fireplace in a shul, even if it's freezing. Which is very surprising. It's very hard to understand. And the Stechemed borrows the terminology of the Chassam Sofer. As we all know, the Chassam Sofer was fighting very fiercely against the Reform. And the Reform were trying to institute many new halachos, many new dinim, and take out certain halachos. So the Chassam Sofer writes in his Tshuvas quite often, Chadish Asam in HaTorah. He borrows a line from the Gemara, but he says, to make new halachos, that's Asam in HaTorah. You're not allowed to make new halachos. So Sotu here says the Stechemed, quoting that line from the Chassam Sofer, that it would be usher for us to install a heating system into a Beis HaKnesses. Now it's very hard to understand. We want to daven, right? We want to be comfortable when we daven. If you're not going to allow us to put in a fireplace, you're not going to allow us to heat up some wood in the shul, how are we supposed to daven like that? Yeah?
What about the
Beis very good. So we'll get to that in a second. So the story is told about Rav Meir Shapira. Rav Meir Shapira, as we know, started the Daf Yomi. He later on was known to be the Rav of Lublin. But originally, his first position was in Pietrikov. He was a Rav in a smaller city in Pietrikov. And when he got there, the first shiloh that he got was this shiloh. When he came to the shul, Balabatim were freezing. I don't know exactly where Pietrikov is in Poland, but it's somewhere over there, and it's pretty cold. So the Balabatim asked him, Rabbi, do us a favor. Can you come up with a heter? Can you figure out, are we allowed to install a furnace? Are we allowed to install a fireplace? So the problem was, Rav Meir Shapira was new. He didn't know what the precedent was. It seemed that the precedent, the minhag always was that you don't have one. And it seemed that they're trying to pounce on the new rabbi and get him to give a kula that never was accepted in the town. So he said, with a lot of anava, with a lot of hachna, he said, you know what? We're going to go to the chok of a rebbe, who obviously lived in the neighborhood. So Rav Meir Shapira said, let's go ask him what he thinks. He's obviously been here for all these years. And he obviously knows what the minhag is. He obviously knows that this was discussed in the past. Why don't we go ask him what the halach is? So Rav Meir Shapira went with the balabatim to the chok of a rebbe. And they asked him, are we allowed to install a furnace, a fireplace in the shul or not? The chok of a rebbe said, absolutely not. Like the Stechemed writes, that Rav Acharonim assume that it's usher. And then Rav Meir Shapira responded and he said, well, now that you say it's usher, I'm going to bring a proof. What's the proof? So Rav Meir Shapira said as follows, a beautiful raya. Meir Shapira said like this, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that when you have a consensus of Rabbanim to figure out whether or not we're going to be Ma'abr the Shana, Ibra HaShana is when we try to figure out whether or not we're going to have another Adar, another month. So when you're making that calculation, when you're trying to figure out is the best thing for the Jewish people to have an Ibra HaShana this year or not, says the Gemara, we don't invite the Kohen Gadol to be on that panel of people who are discussing whether or not Ibra HaShana is a good idea. Why? What do you mean? Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol. He's the greatest person, generally. You have the Rosh HaSanhedrin, you have the Melech, and you have the Kohen Gadol. He's one of the three best people that we have. So why do we exclude him from this conversation? Well, says the Gemara, because he's not going to give an objective opinion. Why? He's no Gea B'Davar. Why is he no Gea B'Davar?
He's going to work harder.
Why does he have to work harder?
For a month.
No, either way, it's going to catch up with him. No. So you're right. He is no Gea B'Davar. Strike three. It's a good pitch. So either way, he is no Gea B'Davar, but the Gemara says, why is he no Gea B'Davar? Says the Gemara like this, because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to work very hard. Now, what's going to happen if we delay the year and we push off Adar and we have another extra month? So then Yom Kippur is going to be later in the season, correct? It's going to be colder. What's going to happen, says the Gemara, he's going to walk around Nebuch, he's going to walk around, he's not allowed to wear shoes or socks, he's going to walk around the Abodah on Yom Kippur, he's going to be freezing. He's going to work harder. So why is he going to work harder? He's going to be freezing, says the Gemara. His toes are going to be cold when he walks around on Yom Kippur, and it's going to be the season that's colder than it would have been had they not done an extra month. So therefore, says the Gemara, because he's no Gea B'Davar, we don't invite him to the Ibra HaShana proceedings at all. That's what the Gemara tells us. Says Rav Meir Shapira. The Gemara doesn't say that we're concerned that he's going to have a cold mikveh to go into because the mikveh was heated, the Gemara says. So I ask you, says Rav Meir Shapira, what's the concern that the Kohen Gadol is going to be Nogea B'Davar? Well, what if we push off Adar another month, and now Yom Kippur is going to be a month later into the cold season? What's the concern? Why don't you just put a furnace in the Beis HaMikdash? Why is he going to be cold? Why don't you just put a heating element in the Beis HaMikdash? And this way the Kohen Gadol is not going to be cold when he does the Avodah. And this way we can invite him to do the Ibra HaShana, and there's nothing to be concerned about. Of course he's going to give an objective view. Well, said Rav Meir Shapira, what you see is clearly from the Gemara that they did not allow a heating system in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Yes, there was a Beis HaMoked which was in the basement, where they allowed people to go if they were cold. So you go downstairs, you go into the basement, into the cellar, there was something else. But in the Beis HaMikdash proper, in the Azara proper, they did not allow a heating element to be there at all. And therefore, says the Gemara, Rav Meir Shapira was medayik from the Gemara, what you see clearly is that we do not allow a heating system to be installed into the Beis HaMikdash. Based on that, Rav Meir Shapira explained why all the Acharonim were so opposed to this. Because the same way the Beis HaMikdash is not allowed to have a heating element installed, well, so too a Beis HaKnesses, which has a quasi-status of a Beis HaMikdash, also we're not allowed to have a heating element installed into the shul. So obviously we violate this. We have air conditioners and heaters. So obviously our gedolim have come out that this is not the consensus any longer. But what Rav Meir Shapira pointed out was that you see from the Gemara like this, and all of this is based on the premise that our Beis HaKnesses is somewhat similar to the Beis HaMikdash of Yur. And one last example that I want to give is from the Maharal. The Maharal tells us in the Nesiv HaAvodah, when he talks about schar psius, the Gemara tells us that a person gets great reward if he goes ahead and he walks to a shul which is further from his house. Every step that he takes, he gets schar psius. Well, says the Maharal, V'kach amru v'gemara sota sh'yesh alechas al beis ha'knesset shu yoseh rachak min ha'adam. Person is supposed to go out of his way and travel to a beis ha'knesset which is further from his house. Parenthetically, I think there's a shalos ha'tshuvas from Rabbi Yonasan Steif. Didn't live that long ago. I think he just died recently, no? I think? So he has a shalos ha'tshuvas where he talks about if a person drives in a car, does he also get schar p'sias? Interesting. Then he talks about also, are you mekayim the din of hachnasas archim if you drive someone in a car? Somebody needs a ride. Well, I'm inviting him into my house. Right now, this is my house. So he discusses all of these different shalos that came up with the car. But be that as it may, it's hard for me to imagine he gets charpsias. Let's say I have a driver with a limo and a fancy car. So you're going to tell me, when I get in the car and the driver drives me one extra block, I get charpsias? It's hard to say that. If I walk to shul and I actually exert myself and I show that I'm interested in sweating a little more for the mitzvah, maybe. But stomp to drive an extra block is hard to understand that a person would really have charpsias. Okay, but basically he writes over here that yes, there is this inyan of schar psius. V'yiret, and says the Maharal, ki eina din hazel gabe sukkah. We never find this by other mitzvahs. For example, you're going to tell me, when I have to be mekayim a mitzvah of dalad minim on sukkahs, you know what? You should walk to the person who's further from your house to go and buy your dalad minim. You should walk to the sukkah that's a few blocks away instead of using the sukkah in your backyard. We never find such a thing. We find by going to a beis haknesses that there's such an idea. So says the Maharal, why is it that we find by going to shul that we have this idea of schar psius, and we don't find it by any other mitzvah in the Torah, seemingly.
What about zrizim mitzvah?
Oh, so zrizim akdim lemitzvah is a different idea. It doesn't mean the more that I exert myself to a mitzvah, the more that I walk to it, the more schar I get. That's lefun tzara agru. Zrizim akdim lemitzvah, you're asking, maybe I misunderstood your question.
I'm asking, why walk further when you can get to the
mitzvah? Aha. So let me sharpen the question a little bit. I think what you mean to ask is, Eimavirin ala mitzvahs. Right? We have a concept that if I have a mitzvah in front of me, I'm not allowed to say, hey, well, we'll wait for you and we'll go do something else. It's like by Kiddush Levana, the Stechemet many Achronim discuss, how do we walk out of shul on Matzah Shabbos? We say Kiddush Levana and only afterward do we go home and say Havdalah. What do you mean? What is Tadir and what's Eno Tadir? The klal always is, the rule always is, Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. That which we do more frequently comes first when we have a mitzvah triage. So over here, you have Havdalah that we do every week. You have Kiddush Levana that we do once a month. So how do we do Kiddush Levana first and only then go home and say Havdalah?
Well,
yeah, but we're not really Yotzei Havdalah in the shul. We all want to say Havdalah at home. Yeah?
The moon is not always available. If you see it, you take advantage.
So you're saying you might miss the opportunity. But even better than that, even more than that, the Stechemet writes, the reason why we do it is because Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs, right now, what's in front of me? Right now the moon is here. So if I have a mitzvah in front of me right now, I don't have a right to pass up this mitzvah and say, oh, I'm going to go do something else. No. Tadr v'sheinu tadr just means when I have a choice in front of me, both mitzvahs are here, and I have a choice either to do X or Y, so then we say tadr comes first. But when I have a situation where there's one mitzvah in front of me and one mitzvah which is somewhere else, so then we say, Eim avir na mitzvahs means, it's sort of slapping the mitzvah in the face if we're going to say, oh, let's go home and say Havdalah first, then we'll come back outside and say Kiddush Levana. It's not right to do that. It's not covered to the Levana, if we're going to say that we'll pass up on the Kiddush Levana for now. So that's basically the question that you're asking. What right do I have to go ahead and pass by the first shul and go to the second shul just because of Schar P'sius, correct? Am I understanding correctly now? So that's basically the question. The answer, I think, has to be that the only time we say Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs is when I want to actually do both mitzvahs. If I want to daven in the shul, then I say, you know what? I pass by the shul and I say, you know what? I want to go to the other shul now. Well, that's perhaps a question of Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs. But if I always go to the other shul, I never daven in the shul. So my intent in the first place was never to pass by the shul and stop over there. My intent always was to keep going further. So I think when we have a situation like that, so Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs perhaps wouldn't play in. That's what...
But you're saying that it's better to pass it by.
Right.
To you're getting additional schar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To get additional
so I think it's talking about when a person chooses, he moves into community and he chooses, which shul am I going to daven in? So obviously he has to take in all the factors, but let's say all the shuls are equal and he likes both of them equally, which is never the case. So then we assume he should take the further shul, right? I assume. That's why each shul has its own membership, because everybody likes a certain style and each shul offers something different. So that's what the Maharal is asking. Why is it that we find this inyan of schar psius bedafka by going to shul? Where does this come from? So skip to the next paragraph, just out of the interest of time. Says the Maharal as follows. V'zeh, the reason why is, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Matzi Bebeis HaKnesses. V'kamo she'amru Chazal ki Beis HaKnesses hu Mikdash Miyat. A Beis HaKnesses has a quasi-status of a Beis HaMikdash. V'lachein, Hashem Yisbarach Matzi Bebeis HaKnesses, when we come to shul each and every day, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. He's davening with us. He's present. This is a quasi Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he says, V'lefikach, kasher holech lebeis HaKnesses hu nimshach al Hashem Yisbarach. When I'm walking to shul and I'm on my way, it's as if I'm pulling myself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liyos lo devekus bo yisbarach, v'yadua, says the Maharal ki ha-misno'ah, someone who walks el adabar, someone who pushes himself to go somewhere, to do something, hu devekus gamar im ha-misno'ah, yoser. When I exert myself to do something, I obviously become more connected. Well, I don't need to become more connected with my lulav and esrog. I think my father writes in one of his svarim, if I'm not mistaken, haven't seen it recently, but I think that he writes that there was once a Baal Tokea that was blowing shofar and brisk, and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was there, and the Baal Tokea started to cry right before he made the bracha. And Reb Chaim said, "What are you crying at? It's a shofar." I understand. What's there to cry about? Do you cry when you pick up your lulav and esrog? So, okay, it's a very brisker story, and most of us don't think that, but I think the point is correct, that when you go to an experience of visiting the Makom HaMikdash, when you go to an experience of going to Beis HaKnesses, we have to realize that it's not simply like going to blow shofar, like going to shake lulav. The experience of going to shul is a dveikus b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The experience of visiting a Makom HaMikdash is having a relationship with the Shechina. And therefore, says the Maharal, that's why we find bedavka by these mitzvahs of going to shul and going to Beis HaMikdash, we find this inyan of schar psius. Because the more a person exerts himself to try and create that relationship, to create that bond, the more it's actually going to impact his life and actually going to make a meaningful difference in all that he does. So these are all just a couple of interesting ways in which we find that there is this some sort of intrinsic connection between the Beis HaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses, because we consider a Beis HaKnesses to be a Mikdash Me'ad, and all of this is predicated on the Shita of the Yireim, the Smag, and the Smak that assume that the Din Mora Mikdash applies equally to a Makom HaMikdash and to a Beis HaKnesses. So now, we still have some time? 15 minutes, okay. So, if we would stop right here, I would assume that the chiyuv of kavod and mora that we have to a Beis HaMikdash applies equally to a Beis HaKnesses. What's surprising is that we have two Gemaras, Yud and Yud Aleph, which seem to indicate not like that. And we look first, the Gemara says, Ezehu mora, when we come to the Beis HaMikdash, what is the proper etiquette? What is the proper mora that we're supposed to have? Says the Gemara. Number one, and we'll get into this in more detail next week, exactly when these Isurim apply, when they don't apply, unless no one's interested. Lo yikanes la harabayis b'maklo. Number one, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to go onto the harabayis with your stick, b'min alo, or with your minol, with your shoes, uva'al fundoso, or with your money belt, says the Gemara. Uba avak shal raglav, a person has to clean off his feet before he enters the Makom HaMikdash. The last thing the Gemara says is you're not allowed to make it a shortcut. If I have to go to Haras Esim, I'm not allowed to make a shortcut through the Harabayis and try to get there a little quicker than going around the whole Harabayis and going the long way. So that is with regard to Makom HaMikdash. That is the proper etiquette, that's the proper respect I'm supposed to show. Surprisingly, the Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Samach Gimel, you look at number Yud Aleph, Amar Rava, what is the proper behavior for a person in a shul? Not quite the same. Why not? Says the Gemara. The underlying principle of how one is supposed to act in shul is ki beso, the same way he would act in his own private home. Ma beso akapandarya kapadinish, the same way you never like when people take a shortcut through your living room just because they have to get to your neighbor's house. You wouldn't appreciate that. So too, you're not allowed to make the shul a shortcut. You don't like it, says the Gemara. Arakiko minolo kapadenish. Back in the days of the Gemara when they had dirt floors. So nobody minded if somebody would come into your home and spit on the floor. No big deal, you just rub it into the floor. So therefore you're allowed to spit on the floor of a Beis HaKnesses as well. And says the Gemara, you don't mind if people wear shoes in your house, so therefore you're allowed to wear shoes in a Beis HaKnesses as well. Says the Gemara, the bottom line, how do we know what is the proper etiquette, what is the proper kavod for a Beis HaKnesses? Says the Gemara, it's not quite the same as in a Beis HaMikdash. Although, yes, the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at, however, the rules are different. The rules that govern the conduct in a Beis HaKnesses are ki beso, the way a person would act in his own home. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah actually writes that yes, the Gemara says you're allowed to spit on the floor, but says the Mishnah Berurah, let's say I live in a place where I'm a big usher, says the Mishnah Berurah, and I have fancy marble floors, and I don't like when people spit on the floor, says the Mishnah Berurah, then you're not allowed to spit on the floors in a Beis HaKnesses either. And similarly, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the same way you don't like it when people walk into your house with dirty boots, you don't like when they wear their galoshes, you have a big mat there and you ask them to take them off, so too, said Rav Soloveitchik, you're not allowed to wear them into a shul. We all do it, but it's not permissible. Why? Because he said the underlying principle of how one is supposed to conduct himself in a shul is based on the way he would act in his own bais, in his own home. And the question begs itself, if in fact we consider a Beis HaKnesses to be a Mikdash Miat, it's a quasi-Beis HaMikdash, then why do we find this discrepancy? Why do we find that a Beis HaMikdash has one set of rules and a Beis HaKnesses has a separate set of rules? What exactly is the difference? So the idea perhaps is as follows. There's a major distinction between a Beis HaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaMikdash, if you look through the Psukim in Navi, we know the Beis HaMikdash is called Ki Beisi Beis Tfilo Yikari Lechal HaAmim. Shifti Beveis HaShem Kol Yimei Chaye. We have Psukim left and right in Navi which tell us, Navi Meksuvim, that tell us that the Beis HaMikdash is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's His house, it's His palace. Shalosh Regalim, we have to go visit Him. However, the Beis HaKnesses is the Beis HaMshel HaTzibur. Beis HaKnesses is our home. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us in our own home. For example, the Gemara tells us in Brachas on Daf Vav, Kivin Sheba HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeBeis HaKnesses V'lo Matzah Ba'asara. The Gemara says, when Hashem comes to visit our shuls, and there's not a minion, davening's supposed to start 9:45 and no one's here yet, Ma'ariv, not Shacharis. So when you come to a shul, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he sees no one's there, says the Gemara, Miyad Koes, Hashem gets angry. Why is he getting angry? Because he's coming to visit us in our house. You invited me to your house. You said Ma'ariv is 9:45 and no one's here yet? What kind of chutzpah is that? What kind of host are you? So you see that there's a major difference between Beis HaMikdash on the one hand and Beis HaKnesses on the other. Beis HaMikdash, we're going to visit Hashem's house, and therefore when you're entering a palace, a person has to conduct himself with Mora. That's what the Gemara says in number Yud. What exactly is Mora? Okay, so Mora, the Gemara tells us exactly how we're supposed to go ahead and do that mitzvah. But Beis HaKnesses is more kavod. When we invite a guest into our house, we're mechabed him, we give him a drink. We act in certain ways which show respect to him. And that's exactly why Rabbah says in this Gemara that when we talk about the conduct that's proper, that's fitting for a Beis HaKnesses, it's all based on the way we would act in our own homes. Why? Because the Beis HaKnesses is our home. It's the home of the Tzibur. We make it a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem comes to visit us in our home, and therefore we say that the Beis HaKnesses is governed by completely different rules than the rules that we would govern a Beis HaMikdash.
Why are there rules against speaking? Like
yeah.
In your house, you could talk anytime.
Yeah, but let's say you had correct. But let's say you had a chush of a guest who was coming to visit you in the house. What do you mean? In the house, you walk around in your pajamas, right? In the house, you take a shower. So how do we govern the rules? We govern the rules by, what would you do when there's an Oreach HaKavod who comes to your house? Let's say the President of the United States calls you up tomorrow. He says, by the way, I'm coming to visit your house. Well, what would you do? Would you sit there at the table when he was sitting there? Would you waste your time talking to your friend? Probably not.
You put it that way.
Right? So that's what it means. Yes, we govern the conduct in a Beis HaKnesses is based off the way one would act in his home, but not stam the way one would act in his home. It's the way one would act in his home when he has an Oreach HaKavod. So too by us. When we have a Beis HaKnesses, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Hamelachim comes to visit us, so we're supposed to act in a way which also shows the way we enter, the way we invite in an Oreach HaKavod. Similarly, this is the difference, just to finish off the shiur with this idea, this is also the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. When we think about it, Shabbos, by both of them we find, the Rambam tells us, by both Shabbos and Yom Tov we find the chiyuv of Kibud and Oneg. We have this dual responsibility of being mechabed to Shabbos and being ma'aneg to Shabbos. We have to eat food which makes us happy. We have to sleep on Shabbos makes us happy. All these different manifestations of kibud va'oneg. However, Tosfos HaMoed Katan points out that the chiyuv simcha is only on Yom Tov. The chiyuv simcha does not apply on Shabbos. How do we know that? Says Tosfos, because when a person, rachmana litzlan, is thrown into an avelus, Shabbos is not mevatel the avelus. Well, the simple reason why is because then you would never have Shiva. You would never have 7 days. Right? Can't have 7 days without a Shabbos, at least where I come from. So if that's the case, then you would never have 7 days. But Tosfos says, no, it's because there's no chiv simcha on Shabbos. And the only reason why Yom Tov is mevatel avelus is because Yom Tov is a chiv simcha, and avelus is a chiv of being sad. So those two things don't go together. So we have to throw away the avelus and say, now you have to have simchas Yom Tov. But Shabbos doesn't have a chiv simcha. Why not? Because Rav Soloveitchik suggested in one of his drushes that what is the experience that brings a person to simcha? Suggested Rav Soloveitchik in a very novel shot, but it's very beautiful as well. He says that perhaps what always gives us simcha is when we find ourselves in the presence of the Shechina. Like the Pasuk says, Hod v'hadu lefanav, oz v'chedva bimkomo. When we're in the makom of Hashem, when we're in His presence, that's what gives us simcha. Like the Gemara tells us in Chagiga as well, Ein atzivus lefnei amakom. There's no such thing as being depressed in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. We have a chiv when we enter into the presence of the Shechina, we have a chiv of simcha. That's what always gives us simcha when we have an encounter with the Shechina. So Yom Tov is the time when we visit the Beis Hashem, like we're saying. The Beis HaMikdash is something which is the Armona Shel HaMelech. It's the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have the opportunity to visit every so often on Shalosh Regalim. And that's why there's a chiv of simcha, because we find ourselves in the presence of the Shechina. We go to visit Him. But on Shabbos, what do? The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph that the Amoraim used to go out to the fields and say, Boi v'netzei likraskala. We have a Kabbalah Shabbos. We don't have Kabbalah Yom Tov. Why do we have Kabbalah Shabbos? Because on Shabbos, we enter in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. We stay home. We stay in our shuls. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chvodah v'atzmo comes to us and He says, I want to spend Shabbos with you. On Yom Tov, we have to go out of our way to spend Yom Tov with Him. On Shabbos, He comes to us. And this is also the difference between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaMikdash is a very exalted experience. A couple of times a year, we have a chance to visit the White House, we have a chance to visit the Beis HaMikdash, we have a chance to visit a Chash of a Makom, a place which is replete with Hashraz HaShechina. But during the rest of the year, when we just go to a Beis HaKnesses, you shouldn't feel that that's missing in the experience. When we go to a Beis HaKnesses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes equally. The only difference is that He's coming to visit us. He wants to see how we live yom yomi. He wants to see how we're living the day-to-day life. I want to see, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to see how you keep Shabbos in your own homes. Don't come to me on Yom Tov. I want to come to you on Shabbos. Go do Kabbalah Shabbos and I want to see how you enter in my presence. I want to see how significant our relationship is actually going to be in your own home. Do you allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to permeate everything that goes on in your house? Are you sure that everything you're doing in your own home is actually being sure that it's befitting of having an Oreach HaKavod, Kavayachol, as such, in our own homes? So this is something to think about. Perhaps next week we'll continue with some of the more halachic aspects of Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash, but this is just to give a little bit of a backdrop, exactly what is the relationship between the Makom HaMikdash, like the Rambam tells us, just to quickly review the points that we've made. The Rambam tells us, there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, but most Achronim assume, like the Rambam, that the Makom HaMikdash has a Kedusha even after it's destroyed. And that's based on a Gemara Megillah as well, which tells us, Afal Pishuhu Charev, even after Beis HaMikdash is utterly destroyed, it's Shamem, it's no longer in existence. Still, we assume that it's still called a Mikdash, it still has its Makom Kadosh, it still has that elevated status. We said over from the Binyan Sion, who asked, well, if that's the case, what do we mean when we say, V'sechazena inenu b'shuv chalitzion barachamim? If the Shechina is there, what are we asking for? We suggested that Archaim HaKadosh tells us that yes, the Shechina is still there, but the elevated status of Shechina is no longer in its entirety as it was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what, in fact, we are being mispalo for. Then we went on to describe the Machlokas HaRishonim about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Some Rishonim say Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only Midrabanan. Other Rishonim say the Yireim, the Smag, and the Smak all assume that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a Chiv Daraisa. We have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses the same way there's a Kedusha space on Migdash, and based on that we said that it manifests itself lahalacha in many different directions. And then we described the basic difference between what a Beis HaKnesses actually is and what a Beis HaMikdash actually is. Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaShel Hashem, where we go to visit. Beis HaKnesses is Beis HaShel HaTzibur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us. And similarly, by the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, that contrast, Shabbos we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to visit our homes, that's why we have a Kabbalah Shabbos. We enter in, we welcome in, we usher in the guest, the Oreach HaKavod, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yom Tov is the time where we go to visit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have a Kabbalah's Yom Tov because we know that Yom Tov is a time where we go out of our way to visit Him. He doesn't come out of His way to visit us. So Mitzvah Hashem will continue next week with some more of the halachas.